Thanks, David. It's an honor for me and my staff to welcome Jack and David to the Hill today to give us an update on this very important topic. I can tell you that this is an issue that comes up regularly in my constituency. Whether I'm going door to door or I receive an email, it's something that's on the minds of a lot of Canadians. So I'm looking forward to the information you have for us today. Thank you very much. It's now my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for today, Dr. Jack Mintz. With shifting demographics, financial restraints, and challenges that Canadian families face, it's timely that we discuss how we can best assist and support family incomes and the tax structure that goes with it. You may be thinking, as I introduce our speaker, he comes forward, that where have I seen that face before? Well, if you've traveled through Ottawa or Toronto airports, through Calgary, through Vancouver airports, there's a whole lot of signs out right now with his face on it, advertising the new public policy school at the University of Calgary, and you'll recognize his face from that. Dr. Mintz has been recently appointed the Palmer Chair in Public Policy at University of Calgary, and hence all the posters that you may have seen around the country, quite literally. He's quite widely published in the field of public economics. He was touted in a 2004 United Kingdom Pub magazine publication as one of the world's most influential tax experts. He serves as an associate editor for International Tax and Public Finance, as well as the Canadian Tax Journal, and as a research fellow for CES IFO on the University of Germany and the Center for Business Taxation Institute out of Oxford University. He's a regular contributor to Canadian Business, the National Post, and has frequently published articles in many other printed media as well. Dr. Mintz presently serves on a number of committees, and I'm not going to list them all off because there's quite extensive list there, but just a handful that he includes is the boards of Ontario Financing Authority, the National Statistics Council, Statistics Canada, and Board of Management, and the International Institute of Public Finance. He's held a wide variety of academic positions both in the U.S. and Canada, was president and CEO of the C.D. Howe Institute from 1999 to 2006. He was a Clifford Clark Visiting Economist at the Department of Finance here in Ottawa, chair of the Federal Government's Technical Committee on Business Taxation in 1996 and 97, and as you can tell, the list goes on and on. We're very privileged to have him here, and I'm pleased to introduce to him today, and I'd ask if you'd come forward now, Jack, and bring us as you introduce your paper, Taxing Families, Does the System Need an Overhaul? Please welcome Dr. Jack Mintz. Well, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. I'm glad I had an opportunity actually to write something, even though it's relatively short for an academic like me. But it's a piece which is one in which I've been wanting to do for a little while, particularly since the whole issue of what is the appropriate unit for taxation has been one that's gotten a lot of interest in Canada, as our member of parliament has pointed out this just now, that there's very keen interest about trying to deal with one of the issues that actually has been a relative inequity in the tax system for quite a long time. In fact, what I'm going to be talking about in terms of moving towards family taxation in Canada is not something that's new. In fact, if you go back to 40 years ago, the famous Carter Report, buck is a buck is a buck, they had argued very strongly, actually, for moving towards the family unit for taxation on the basis of principles of good tax policy, and really that's what I'm here to talk about today. I'm not a particular individual who is involved with pushing or advocating particular points of view, but one in which, based on tax policy, and my expertise, I feel very strongly about trying to move the tax system in a direction which I think is appropriate. I think really the key issue in my mind really is the fact that when you compare two taxpayers, let's say one taxpayer, a family that has one individual that's working full-time and the other individual who doesn't work but has reasons for not working, whether it's raising children or doing voluntary service or for whatever reason there might be involved, such as a disability, that the single earner family, in comparison to some other family where there's two earners, could end up paying significantly more tax as a result. And to give you an example of that, which I do in my article, and of course there's tons of examples you can go through, but if you take, let's say, two Ontario families, one with two working parents earning $35,000 each, and another one with one working parent earning $70,000, and you ask the question where if they have to pay tax in Ontario, claiming their personal exemption only, and their child tax benefits that might be associated with their income levels, and you ask the question, how much tax do each of them pay? Well, the one-earner family will end up paying $14,165 in tax. The two-earner family, each earning $35,000, will end up paying $10,364 in tax. So the one-earner family ends up paying $3,799 more in tax compared to the two-earner family. And that's actually 37% more in tax. And just to give you an idea, on a monthly basis, that would come out to about $315 in extra payments. And of course, that could be equal to leasing a car. It could be a significant share of one's mortgage payment that one ends up paying this tax. And so it's not surprising that many single-earner families in Canada, because of the progressive nature of our tax system, end up paying or facing a lot of pressure where both members of the family feel they have to work in order to pay the bills in a household. And it's for that reason that I think many people have been very concerned about the implication that this can have for a country like Canada, where families may feel this extra burden. They might make decisions that that impact on the way they do things, whether they decide to do any voluntary work at all, or whether how many children they should have, and other things. And of course, in today's world, that could be quite important in terms of thinking about demographic changes in society and the aging problem that one often comes across. So in my view, one really does need to think more about income splitting or family taxation in Canada, and to see if there are some things that we can do to help families cope. Now, if you look at today's income tax world, Canada already uses certain family notions as part of the tax system. So it's not that the notion of having some family taxation is out of the question. In fact, we already use it in a limited way. For example, the GST refundable credit and the child tax benefit refundable credit is based on family income. In other words, how much you get of it will depend on your family income, not on individual income of a particular parent. People who have self-employment income can more readily split income with the spouse, particularly if they form a corporation, and can pay out dividends to a spouse for that would be subject to tax in the hands of the spouse, but it does give them an opportunity to split income in that manner. Also, people are now, for a long time, have been able to contribute to spousal RSPs as a single earner, so that gives an opportunity to split income. They're also, in according with recent moves by the current government, are now allowed to split pension income with their spouse as well. Then there's a whole bunch of rules that allow for the transfer of credits from one spouse to another when one spouse can't use the credit. And then finally, there is a way of splitting investment income where you, if you make sure that the assets are held jointly by the two spouses, then you can split that income as well. So in other words, there's a lot of opportunities when it comes to, especially those with more income, to split income that the Canadian tax system already recognizes a family approach already. But when it comes to labor income, there's significantly more limitation on what people can do. And of course, for many Canadians, especially lower and middle income, those in lower and middle income, they have less opportunity to split income or to access what elements of family taxation we do have in the current income tax. Now, I guess the question is, why should we make any change? And that's always the important tax policy issue. And I think there's really two major issues that I think any expert often thinks about when thinking about tax policy. And these are based on what's called efficiency and fairness criterion. On the efficiency side, which I think is very important, one worries about a tax system that distorts decisions. And to the extent that the tax system leads to people making decisions or allocating their resources in ways that they wouldn't do otherwise, then that causes an economic cost on society in the sense that people are doing things that aren't really in the interest of the most profitable gains to themselves, but instead are doing things in order to avoid certain high levels of burdens of taxes. On the fairness side, the importance of thinking about family taxation, of course, is that you want to have equal treatment of households with similar economic powers. And I'll go into that in a moment in more detail, but equal treatment of equals is actually the major reason for allowing for family taxation, so that all families would bear similar tax burdens relative to the economic power that they have with the income that they enjoy. Those are very critical aspects, and I think the example I gave of Ontario, where people facing a high marginal tax rate as a single earner ends up paying more tax compared to lower income individuals, I think is a very good example of how that system could end up not only creating unfairness between different households, but also creating inefficiency. Now, there are some important arguments that go against, moving towards full family taxation, and I think these need to be recognized. Some people will argue that several people living in a house can achieve certain economies of scale, reduce their overhead costs per person, and therefore you want to allow for perhaps larger households paying more tax than, let's say, smaller households. Well, that may be some argument to be made. However, we have to keep in mind that when we're talking about single versus two earners, they could be households of exactly the same size, and so the economies of scale argument is really not relevant in that situation. A second argument often made against family taxation is that a spouse at home, in a sense, earns untaxed income or production income, in the sense that they can take leisure, which does provide non-monetary value to the house, or they can do some things from home where they don't have to pay tax on it, whether it's growing carrots in the garden or whatever. And if you have two households with two working persons, then there's all sorts of costs that have to be incurred to earn a living, and of course those costs could be a disadvantage to people both trying to work. Now, the argument there, I think, is an appropriate argument, but not against family taxation as such. It's really an argument for allowing for greater recognition of costs to earn a living, whether it's certain types of clothing that people have to buy, or working tools, or whether they have certain transportation costs that they have to incur in order to get to a job. Those are things that should be addressed in the personal tax system, but not to the extent of saying we shouldn't have family taxation. Instead, it really should be what we should be introducing or using greater use of certain deductions in the system that we have right now, whether it's the employment tax credit that was recently introduced, child care expense deductions, perhaps should be more generous than they are today. But all those things are arguments, I think, in favor of trying to achieve greater recognition of the costs of trying to earn a living, rather than saying we shouldn't have family taxation. And then the third principle or argument made against family taxation is that if you do require people to aggregate their incomes, and let's say one of the one of the spouses decides to earn more income, they might face a higher marginal tax rate and be discouraged from work. And it also might make it more difficult for some poor spouse in a family to be more financially independent if you have family taxation. All those points are really quite fair, but what a lot of countries have done is to allow the system to be optional between individual and family taxation, which does, I think, allow for those families that want to have more independent members of the household working that they can do so in that case. So I feel many of the arguments that are put forward against family taxation, specifically because it's the wrong principle, I think are incorrect and are unbased, I think, in terms of thinking of both efficiency and fairness in the tax system. Instead, one can make a very strong argument for family taxation as really the appropriate principle for a unit for determining taxes to be paid by individuals. Now, of course, this issue about how you tax people varies across the world. A number of countries do allow for family taxation of certain types, and I'll give a few examples later on. But currently, amongst the OECD countries, there are 9 countries that do have some form of family taxation, including our neighbor to the south, the United States, which I'll talk about in a few moments. Now, how can we introduce family taxation in Canada? Well, I think there's really 3 approaches that one can think about. The first one actually is, in my view, the simplest approach and follows along the pension income splitting rules that were recently adopted. And that is 2 members of the family could elect to transfer some money to the lower income spouse in order to save some tax. And you could put a limitation on how much could be that could be transferred, etc. So you don't go to the full family taxation model, but you do allow for at least some transferring of that income. This can be far less, let's say, disruptive to the overall personal tax system, because we have a whole bunch of other elements in the tax system, like transferring credits that are currently allowed, and this is just an additional type of measure that could be adopted that would allow for a movement towards family taxation. But of course, it doesn't get you the whole way there, and so there's really 2 other models that people could consider. The second approach is to use what's called joint filing, where members of a house could decide to jointly file their personal income taxes together, and basically add them up. So it would be an option for them to do that. This is what's done currently in the United States and in Germany, for example. And what happens under joint filing is that people end up getting a higher tax brackets in order to avoid paying extra tax when they do have their income added up. So, for example, instead of having a personal exemption of, let's say, $10,000 a year, you would get a $20,000 personal exemption. Instead of having a tax bracket where the first where you go from, let's say, the lowest marginal tax rate to the next lowest marginal tax rate of, let's say, $35,000 a year, it becomes $70,000 a year if you're a joint filer. And this is this is exactly the process that's used in the United States and Germany. There could be some adjustments about whether you fully double the income or not, but this is an approach that could be used. Joint filing would have a revenue cost, of course, for governments. It could be much bigger than the income splitting side. And that would have to be factored into these choices. But certainly it is an approach that's well known and has been adopted by several countries. And as a result, has given, I think, multiple member households additional relief. And the third approach is the one that I find the most unique one, which is the French approach particularly, where all of income is added up together. And then you divide that income by quotient, which reflects the number of members in the household. And the way the French do it is that you take each parent and they are treated as one. The first 2 children are given a weight of 1/2, although the third and higher level number of children are treated as one as well. So actually it gives an extra kick for larger families under the French system. And you take your aggregate income and you divide it by the quotient. That gives you your average income in the house on a per capita basis. We then calculate the amount of tax to be paid under the progressive income tax, calculate it per person, and then multiply it by the quotient, and you have the total amount of tax to be paid. The nice thing about the French system, actually, is that all the rules about attribution of income between children and adults become lessened, and between spouses and everything else, you save a certain amount of complexity associated with that. So it is kind of an interesting approach that one can think of, but it would require probably the biggest amount of change that we would need to make in the personal income tax system in order to move in that direction. I'm not going to argue in favor of whatever approach is made. Really, my comments are that I think the principle of income splitting, or the principle of having family taxation, I think is appropriate in the Canadian system. People will argue that there is a cost to it. Yes, there is. There will be a revenue cost that governments will face. And of course, that means either governments, in order to balance budgets, will have to cut spending or increase taxes in other ways in order to make up for the revenue loss. And I think that is an important consideration. But I do think that, at least from the principle, we should say that, yes, this is the correct approach to take. And given the opportunities now for income splitting in the system, I think it's actually unbiased against many middle-income taxpayers, and perhaps we need to start thinking about what we can do in that sense to help them along. And for that reason, actually, I'm kind of more in favor of the first approach to income splitting, rather than going the French full family taxation approach or the American and German joint filing approach, mainly because perhaps one can at least address some of the issues faced by many middle-income individuals who, unlike others, do not have the same opportunities to split income. And even though there would be some revenue loss for governments, I guess there's always a question of how one should spend surpluses in today's world, but I do think that this is an anomaly, that it's about time Canada fixed this up after 40 years of a major commission recommending a movement towards family taxation. Thank you very much.